This Advent season, we've been taking a look at Jesus' birthday candles. And as I've mentioned before, it's not candles that represent his age like the birthday candles do on our cakes and whatever else we decorate for our birthdays. But they're about the attributes and the benefits that are ours for knowing Jesus Christ. As we just shared about our Advent wreath, we talked about promised hope on that first week. As we lit the prophet's candle in the second week, we shared about grounded faith in the Bethlehem candle. Last week, the excited joy that the shepherds had. And today, we have this revealed peace that comes from the angel's candle as they revealed that there was a baby born in Bethlehem and that he was to bring peace to all mankind. Some things for us to think about today, a couple questions as we gather this morning is, are you prepared for the arrival of Christ? When suddenly Christ appears, will you be prepared? Advent is a time to slow down, to check our hearts, prepare our hearts to reach out with the message that God does love the world so much that he gave us the Christ child, to tell us that God is approachable. God is not an uncaring, distant relative who writes once a year, like in a Christmas card, if you're lucky. God is approachable. God is with us, Emmanuel. Advent is a time to get our hearts ready, to allow Christ to access our lives. The story goes that during a children's play of the events of the Nativity, that as Mary and Joseph came to the inn to ask about a room, there was a boy that was playing the innkeeper. His name was Harold. And after he said no and they started to walk away, he ran up to the couple and said in a loud voice so that everyone could hear in the audience, "Wait a minute, come back. You can have my room." Now we know that's not in our scripture, but certainly, hopefully, that's how we feel when we think of Jesus coming. And the question is, can Christ have your room? Will you allow him to reveal his peace in you? Luke shares a message from angels about the Christ child in our scripture this morning. Please honor the reading of God's word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God. You know, the story is told of a hurricane that had struck, and people were all huddled together. And there was a preacher there in the midst of that group, and he was praying with great oratorical effects during the violent storm of the hurricane. He was crying out, "Send us the spirit of the children of Israel, the children of Moses, the children of the promised land." An old man who had a lot less oratory, but he had more directness. This was his prayer. "Lord, don't send nobody. Come yourself. This ain't no time for children." So God came himself in the form of his son, a baby lying in a manger. The angel sang glory. The angel sang peace. But how do we find peace in a world of storms and turmoil? Is it possible? We often become so accustomed to our life being filled with the stresses and turmoil of daily life, and certainly 2020 has been a tough year, and we almost have found ourselves in what some call a new normal. We just sort of get used to it, and we cope. And often we have long forgotten what peace looks like and don't recognize it when we see it. Listen closely to what people talk about, and you will find that the stresses and turmoil of our times has robbed people, even Christians, of their peace. At this Advent season, as we look to Christmas this week, we can reflect on where we are and come back to the restorer of our peace. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah came on the scene to bring prophecies of salvation to people who were weary and beat down by the stresses of their life. In Israel's case, it was by the turmoil of war and the chaos brought on by the Assyrians. Peace was not a part of their ordinary life. They didn't know what it looked like anymore. Isaiah 11 begins by saying, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." Judah, the royal line of David, would be like a tree chopped down to a stump, but from that stump, a new shoot would grow, the Messiah. He would be greater than the original tree and would bear much fruit. This is Isaiah's way of saying peace is on the way. The Messiah is coming. And Isaiah was saying this to the people of Israel because out of this destruction and turmoil of war and chaos where peace doesn't exist, he wanted them to know a green shoot will sprout. Peace is on the way because the Messiah is coming. You might say, so what? What's this have to do with peace? Isaiah is saying Jesus, the Savior, the hoped-for Messiah, is going to come to bring peace. Even though the royal family of David, the tribe of Judah, was cut down figuratively, as Isaiah shares it there, and only the stump left, almost leveled to the ground and lost completely, and yet Isaiah says it will sprout again. We're reminded that in many scriptures throughout the Bible about how growth still comes even when we think things are bleak. Newness still comes. Job, in chapter 14, verse 7, says, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail." We see Isaiah speaking to that here in the first verse of chapter 11 in Isaiah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, "At least there is hope for a tree." Or I'm reading the wrong one. "See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." Revelation speaks to Isaiah's scripture of the hope and the peace and all that comes with that from the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Peace is on the way. You know, the house of David was reduced and brought very low at the time of Christ's birth. Think about the obscurity and poverty of Joseph and Mary at that time. Going to a stable? How's this going to possibly work out? But there in that little town of Bethlehem, God reveals his peace through Jesus. Can we have peace in times of turmoil? How's this going to possibly work out in my life, we might ask ourselves. How can I experience peace in the job that I have? How can I experience peace in what's going on in my family or with the problems I'm facing? One might ask, how can I have peace with the COVID virus loose? How can I have peace in my circumstances, you might ask? How can I have peace when the news is full of strife, when it seems that my country is divided? 2020 has been a crazy year. Everything is different. Wearing masks everywhere we go. We're having church online this morning. And we did it for months, and we've done it during this Advent season. Many can't see their family during the holidays or not even on the weekends. So can we experience peace in our lives? Yes, we can through Jesus. Isaiah says, yes, because Jesus is qualified to bring the peace we need. The prophecy in Isaiah 11 goes on to say in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. When we have Jesus in our lives, we can experience peace. He has been given all these qualities that Isaiah speaks of, and we need these same qualities in our daily life. We need Jesus. We need him in our lives. And when we have him, we can experience peace. His peace will be revealed in our lives. So how do you choose to live your life? The coming of a Christ can motivate us to live in peace with one another. We can't wish away the conflict and the uncertainty in today's world. We just can't. We can't wish away the virus or ignore it. But we can choose to live our lives in a different way from the rest of the world. We can live it in a way that will bring peace. You might wonder how you have missed it in the past. Maybe you were looking for peace in external things, such as a cabin in the woods, away from the stresses of daily life. Maybe sitting beside a quiet lake with a fishing pole in your hand. A week on the beach with nothing but sun and the sound of the waves. That external peace can be shattered quickly. How have we missed it? I think it is because we have not fully realized what Jesus came to bring us. When we try to make it on our own, we forfeit peace. We fail to realize that when we come to Christ, he not only becomes our Savior, but he wants to become the Lord of our life. Too often when he works a miracle in our life, we say, okay, thank you, Jesus, but I can handle it from here. We tend to take off on our own. We want to pick and choose. And then on our own, peace flies out the window. We need the qualities that he possesses to help us live in a world of turmoil. We need his wisdom to make daily decisions. We need his power to live an overcoming life when stresses try to tear us down. We need his counsel when we are confused and don't know which way to turn. But we're the ones that make that choice. We choose to live our life. And we can choose to live with him on the outside, looking in. Or perhaps we choose to have him on the fringe, just enough of a Christian to get by. And I say get by in air quotes. Or we can choose to live our life and allow him to be the Lord of our life. The Lord himself speaks to us in Isaiah chapter 48, beginning with verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Scripture reminds us that we don't get peace by just doing as we please and living our lives any old way to suit ourselves. It is when we come into right standing with God and seek to follow his ways that peace will be there. Peace comes with repentance, by turning around and going a different way. Peace comes with turning towards God not away from him. Turn to God. He will reveal his peace within you. I want to close with part of Paul's closing remarks in his letter to the Philippians. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.